Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Welcome back. It's Matt Harkins back at the studio. You can call him. He'll put you on with me at 412-928-9370. Also, tweet me at KD Bomb. You can follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Shop all three locations at ShorkeyKia.com and text the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. It's 928-9370, area code 412. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. We're talking a lot about the Steelers and the Colts, the Steelers' immediate future. What do you think of it? Well, also, I've been trying to get some calls about Josh Bell. If you have a baseball thought about that trade, which, again, to me looks like something of a salary dump, not willing to engage him long term, with maybe good reason. But my biggest question with that trade is, why now? They still have time. He's only in the second year of arbitration. How about if he has a good year this year? And if he does, the Pirates might have gotten more in return. Also talk about the Penguins, who will be opening training camp this coming week. So let us know your thoughts about the Penguins in a very grueling division they will be playing in. In the meantime, 412-928-9370, Mike has been patient. He joins us on the cell. Hello, Mike. How are you? Happy holidays.
Hi, Bob. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
And, I just wanted to comment, you know, I listen to you on the Cook and Joe show, and they get in your crap all the time, and you handle it so gracefully with class. Just remember, they're either jealous or, you know...
It's all fun.
But I think they really, really love you.
Well, I hope so. I hope they put up with me, but thank you for the call. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Josh Bell, thank goodness, good riddance. I'm sorry I disagree with you there. The man cannot play first base. You know, I've seen him play every game, and sometimes I feel like he misses ground balls intentionally. I know that's hard to say, so he doesn't have to throw the ball. He hasn't figured it out. We can't have a guy playing first base like that.
Yeah, but my question with him is, he's not too far off a 37 home run, 116 RBI season. I think he's improved. He still is a defensive liability. My question is, why now? If this was the case, they maybe should have done it last year before the 60-game season. You know, you end up avoiding arbitration, saving money. I get all of that. But you get, keep this in mind, too, Mike, because MajorLeagueBaseball.com, MLB.com, ranked the Nationals as the worst farm system in all of baseball. And so you're getting their third and eighth prospect. The third one is 26 years old. If he was a legit prospect, wouldn't he be up here at age 26 by now?
Well, you know, as far as why they got rid of him now, I mean, I think last year they were hoping that he would regain some of that form he had during that 3 to 4 month hot stretch that he had. And, you know, they've got that young kid first baseman. They got Moran, who's a good hitter. And, I just think I think it was definitely the right move. But, you know, the main reason I called that, I wanted to comment on Raffelsberger. You know, 3 or 4 weeks ago when we were undefeated, you know, the guys on the talk shows there in Pittsburgh were talking like, you know, he's an MVP candidate. Now, granted, we've lost 3 games in a row, but just like your previous caller said, you know, lost a lot of people on defense. That definitely contributed to some of the losses, if not all of them. And the play calling is terrible, like he mentioned. I think Ben's still going to be fine. And I just don't understand how, in such a short period of time, he can be talked about as being an MVP candidate of the league to a bum. I mean, you know.
Well, he's not that, but you're right. I mean, the narrative has completely changed, Mike, and it's because of the lack of production. But I think the play calling, and if he has something to do with that, which I'm sure he has something to do with it, he's a veteran guy who likes to call things, but it's just been unimaginative. It's been predictable. And it's led to a lot of the same problems they've had. Teams jump routes. Teams know it's coming. We saw it in Buffalo with a pick six.
Right.
These are throws that become more difficult, even though they're shorter, because everyone is crowded into the same defensive space. And that has been one of the major problems. And I think it's a creativity issue on offense. I do. But more than that, I think it's just they need better people at better positions. I think their run game needs to upgrade. I think their offensive line now is going to be in a decision where they're going to make a big transition. How much longer can Pouncey play? DeCastro doesn't look the same. Villanueva is getting up there, even though he's had relatively good year in protecting Roethlisberger. But these are all, it all has to happen. And over the years, it's happened, Mike, without them picking in the top 20. You know, so it's hard to come up with the guys.
But I ask you this. Is it Roethlisberger's fault that we lost three games in a row? I don't think so.
Well, he said, I mean, he was responsible for turnovers in that last Cincinnati game. I still believe that Ben Roethlisberger is going to play well the rest of this season. I do. I just think he's motivated to do it. He should be motivated to do it. But I think the play calling will dictate what they do. And if they do not get better in some of this and the execution of some of these plays they're calling, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. And this is why you're seeing a downturn in his performance. So his down-the-field passing game has been extremely inaccurate, and if it's inaccurate, it takes pressure off the defense. They don't have to concern themselves with it so much.
Well, Bob, thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure.
You too. I appreciate it, Mike. Thank you. We're going to go down to FLA right now. We have Mark who wants to have a thought about the Josh Bell trade. Hello, Mark in Florida. How are you?
So great to talk to you, Bob. First of all, my condolences to Andrew. I did contribute this week, and I hope the other listeners will do so, too. It's a great program.
That, Mark. Thank you.
I wanted to talk to you a little about the Josh Bell thing. I think one thing people might be overlooking, there was a great column yesterday by Jason Mackey in the Post-Gazette. There's a scout named Johnny DePuglio who signed Soto. He signed Robles. He also signed Hanley Ramirez at the same time that Ben Cherington was in the Red Sox farm system. So they're very familiar, and he's the one who signed Eddie Yang. And some scouts I've talked to who see the Nationals Instructional League here in West Palm Beach say that Yin is like a real deal. He's like 90, 92. He's young. He's 19 years old. But that he is a guy that, you know, is a frontline prospect potentially. And I think that the column also that Kevin Gorman had today in the Tribune Review was very on point. If Nutting and Cherington are sincere, which they say they will be, that they should invest now in Cabron Hayes and make him the cornerstone future of the team to show the fans that they're committed to signing some ball player.
Yeah,
for
but you know what?
Benefit.
I will say, Mark, that's fine. But it's easy to do that now. It's very easy to sign a guy to 4 years now because they have control of him regardless. They're going to have to pay if he's worth what he is. It's an easy signing to make. We've seen this before. To me, that doesn't do anything to me. I lose value in that sort of signing. Okay, fine. It's easy to do. It's when you get to a point where you need to cash in bigger money, and they weren't willing to do it with Garrett Cole. They weren't willing to do it with a lot of guys who get to that brink of free agency. And then they, you know, you talk about Eddie Yin. Okay, fine. How far away is he? Will it at all be at the same time tied into Mitch Keller? Because if Mitch Keller's any good, guess what's going to happen in a couple of years? They'll trade him too.
But, I mean, that's the reality of baseball. I mean, we saw the Tampa Rays this year, Bob, go to the World Series with a small market. But if you manage the team, well, I'm not putting Bob Nutting off the hook. I've been a critic of him a long time, just like you and others with his payroll money. But I think it comes down to management. I remember 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when Jeff Linhau was criticized with the Astros for just getting a bunch of young guys. I think the situation in Pittsburgh hit the bottom, and you know, there's only a way to go up. You've seen Cherington this winter try to get pitchers. He drafted a Rule 5 guy, number one. I'm not giving Bob Nutting a free pass, but by the same token, I mean, Josh Bell was going to go to $6 million in arbitration, and he was going to basically be 30% of your payroll next year.
Well, I don't want to hear it. You know, they vote on this system. Economic problems in baseball have existed for a long time. The owners are the ones who are unwilling to make it a salary cap league, so therefore deal with it. And they're not willing to deal with it. It's an easy excuse to say, well, look at where we are. We can't afford. Yeah, okay, fine. I'm just tired of it. I am. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the same thing over and over again. I think anyone who's followed this team has to be tired of it. You can tell me about any yins and yangs and everyone else, whatever. I've seen enough prospects come and go. I've seen guys who've developed and then they release and trade or whatever. I want to see something tangible right now. And I know that's not in the cards. I realize that. But at the same time, when will it all come to fruition? How long does it take? I think those are relative questions, and it does. It underscores, you know, the economics of baseball. Mark, thanks for the call.
I wish you a great holiday season. Great
you too. Thank you very much. I always look forward to hearing from you. You know, look, I'm a big baseball fan. I want to see good baseball. I just don't want to see baseball. I want to see good baseball. And it seems like every time the Pirates, you know, they invested a lot in Josh Bell. They gave him a $5 million bonus when no one else would to get him here. He had a wonderful season. Is he flawed? Certainly he's flawed. But, I mean, he does give them a chance of some power, and I realize you're going to tell me, okay, well, they're not going to win anywhere this year. I know that. They weren't going to win last year. So why not trade him last year, coming off of the 37-116? Why not trade him or wait until he has a good start to the season? Maybe he won't, but how about if he does? You know, I don't know. It's just a frustrating exercise for me to go through, like everyone else. You just get to it and you say, okay, and how many more years will it take? All right, welcome back as we continue and get you ready for the first of three NFL games. It's Tampa Bay and Detroit coming at you soon, and we'll carry it for you here live on 93.7 The Fan. I guess what's next for the Pirates are more trades. Ben Cherington said likely there will be more. Likely it won't be the last one of Josh Bell. So who would be next then? You'd have to think Adam Frazier's one of them. Musgrove, Brault, who knows? But again, this cycle continues, and you can chalk it up to bad general managing in the past, bad moves that were made. You can track it up to not getting enough in return for guys who were really good, like Gerrit Cole. I thought they should have gotten more for Gerrit Cole. Starling Marte, we'll see if the young pitchers develop there. And the guys they got here, sure, Will Crow is someone who could start for them this year, but last year, at age 26, 0-2 with an 11.88 ERA. And again, the key number there is 26 years of age. If he really was that good of a prospect, I think you would have seen at least something more from him. He gave up 11 runs and 8 walks and 8 and a third innings this past season in the condensed 60-game season. Eddie Yean is one of those young prospects that they, you know, again, he's many, many years away. I wonder how this ties into the guys they have now who are going to be their centerpieces. Again, it's going to be Ke'Bryan Hayes. It's going to be Mitch Keller. But in 3 or 4 years from now, those two guys may be on their way out for the same exact reasons. So again, it continues to just recycle itself, and that's the frustrating thing about it. Now, if some of these guys hit and their starting pitching staff, you know, have four guys who are really good and it can make a difference, fine. Then you can add some people in. But again, the question is, when do you do that? And how much money do you spend? Because I think they still have to spend. There's ways to go out and get guys to make you at least try. And that's my biggest problem with this, with the way the Pirates are handling things. I suppose if you're going to do it, they should have started this rebuild earlier and done it so that you got more in return. Some of the timing of these trades bothers me. And I think Josh Bell, I would have, you know, it's this year and next year still had his rights through arbitration. And you can argue and say, well, you're not going to win with Josh Bell or without him. Okay, fine. But what if he gets off to a good start? At least then your leverage to get more increases, especially at a trade deadline when teams might be willing to do something more than what they got. I don't know. I don't know much about the prospects other than what I've read, just like you. So we'll see. But it seems very similar in the way things have gone. And as far as the Pirates or the Penguins are concerned, I wanted to get into them a little bit. I really like this schedule. As far as, you know, 56 games, all of them within the division, they're going to be just playoff-type games, you would imagine. Right off the bat, two straight games at Philadelphia. Then they come home for two straight games to Washington, two straight games to the New York Rangers. These are all teams that will be better. And Philadelphia has a lot of young talent. They're going to get Nolan Patrick back, you would think. He missed last year with migraine issues. You get him back with all the other talent they have, they're going to be a force. Boston's going to be without two of their best players to start coming up, and we'll see what they do without Brad Marchand at the start of the season.